Back in 1991, when Anita Hill came forward with allegations of sexual harassment by then Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas, many senators were quick to dismiss her claims. Thomas was ultimately confirmed with 52 votes, 11 from Democrats. Among them was Democratic Senator Dennis DeConcini, the only Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee to vote for Thomas. DeConcini opened his questioning to Anita Hill by expressing his sympathy for her and what she was going through.
I just remember as a young boy my mother telling me about sexual harassment and her job and losing her job. She was 22 years old. So I grew up with that in my mind, and she mentioned it several times as I grew in age. Had dinner with her night before last, and she got choked up just telling me again about it 60 years later.
But he said he was frustrated by the process. Before the allegations surfaced, Thomas was well on his way to being confirmed and had already been cleared by the Judiciary Committee. Then, an FBI interview with Anita Hill got leaked to the press and set up a firestorm of controversy. The hearings were reopened. To DeConcini, the process was unfair to Judge Thomas.
I can't believe that this process is taking place to a United States appellate court judge who's been confirmed three times by this body, a life appointment, and you're even here, and I'm even here. I'm ashamed to be part of this process.
DeConcini ultimately voted to confirm. Nearly 30 years later, as Brett Kavanaugh faces allegations of sexual assault, I called up former Senator Dennis DeConcini to ask him if he's seeing echoes today of 1991.
Well, there are lots of similarities. One is at kind of the last minute, because we were pretty much through the hearings, and then this was leaked out by a Democratic senator who will not name his name because he's an old-time friend of mine. And it was anonymous, and Joe Biden had taken it up with the committee. And to Joe Biden's credit, he said, no, we're not going to do anything anonymous if she won't come forward. And at that time, we were told that she would not come forward. And then it was leaked out, and of course it was a bombshell. There was some hostility to Thomas, as there was to Kavanaugh from the Democrats on different issues. But he seemed to weather that. I think he would have been confirmed as he was, but I think the votes were there.
As you watched the way in which Senator Feinstein handled what was also an anonymous allegation, what are your thoughts there?
Well, I know Senator Feinstein. I served with her, and I have the greatest respect for her. And though I can't vote in California, I would if I could. And I hope she doesn't take this as personal criticism. From what I've read, and I've not talked to her or the staff, she had this information back in July. It's unfortunate that she didn't present it then. Now, maybe she did. I'm not certain. You know, when you get anonymous tips, it's a dilemma what to do, because you're sworn to the person that gives you it that you will not disclose it. So you can't go against that. And on the other hand, when it's such an important nature as this, to me, the answer, and should have been in Thomas's hearing as well as this, is you put it off. And you see whether or not there is any other evidence or complaints that might come forward.
Do you think that the Thomas hearings should have been postponed and more effort put into not just looking at Anita Hill's charges, but the potential that there's other stuff out there that wasn't uncovered?
Yes, I think they should have.
And what about with Kavanaugh?
Yes, I think they should.
And yet in both 1991 and now, the focus is on keeping the nomination and the vote on track. Do you see a risk in Democrats making the argument for more time and giving Republicans an opportunity to cast Democrats as trying to be disruptive and not allowing a vote?
Well, what I see, Amy, is that the Democrats could somewhat blunt that by saying, we believe that there should be this review, more interviews, background information, and the vote should be put off until the month of November or the first part of December, in ample time, that there could still be a vote with the Senate majority in the Republicans' strength. That's what I think would be the solution, the best fair solution, both to Kavanaugh and to Dr. Bisley.
There was actually a good deal of bipartisan support for Clarence Thomas. You supported him ultimately. Looking back now, are you still okay with that vote?
Yes, I am. There was a lot of other information, and I think her credibility to me and some others really took a hit, because after the incident supposedly happened, she went on, and he went on, became an appellate court judge, and she became a professor in, I can't remember, Oklahoma University, some university there, in the law school. And she calls him and asks him if he will come and lecture the law class. He says yes. So then she makes arrangements, and she picks him up at the airport, takes him to his hotel, picks him up the next morning, takes him to the class, takes him back to the airport. So, you know, to me, that brought some discredit to Miss Hill, because here she was, you know, having this happen to her. Now all of a sudden, oh, I can use him. Well, it's different, certainly, than any sexual implications. But to me, it had some bearing.
So we hear this line of thinking a lot about women who claim they've been harassed or assaulted. Why would you ever willingly interact with someone who did this to you? Why on earth didn't you cut off all contact with them? Women get put in this situation all the time, especially with men who are in positions of power. There's nothing unusual about this at all. But a woman who can best explain this experience is a woman who experienced it. Here's Anita Hill in her 1991 testimony when pressed on this question by Senator Alan Simpson.
If what you say this man said to you occurred, why in God's name, when he left his position of power or status or authority over you, and you left it in 1983, why in God's name would you ever speak to a man like that the rest of your life?
That's a very good question. And I'm sure that I can't not answer that to your satisfaction. That is one of the things that I have tried to do today. I have suggested that I was afraid of retaliation, I was afraid of damage to my professional life, and I believe that you have to understand that this response, and that's one of the things that I have come to understand about harassment, that this response, this kind of response, is not atypical. And I can't explain. It takes an expert in psychology to explain how that can happen. But it can happen, because it happened to me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.